This is Second Look. I'm Bob Levicky, WMRA's news director. Good afternoon. I want to devote today's show to the big events in Richmond last week. The Virginia General Assembly began its 2016 60-day legislative session, and by tradition, Governor Terry McAuliffe kicked things off Wednesday evening with his State of the Commonwealth address. We've got highlights from his remarks, plus the Republican response. We begin near the beginning of the governor's address as he summarized progress over the last year.
When I stood before you 1 year ago, as you know, we were preparing to close a $2.4 billion budget shortfall. We were coping with the drag that federal cuts were placing on our economy and bracing for the potential of tougher, more sequestration cuts. And as you know, I was speaking through the pain of 7 broken ribs and a punctured lung. This evening, I'm happy to tell you that things are looking up. Our work to build a new Virginia economy is paying off. We can breathe more freely thanks to a period of relative calm in Washington. And I'm happy to say that 5 of my ribs are now healed, and I am certainly breathing easier than I did last year. Secretary Rick Brown often says that Virginia's leaders are on their best behavior in a budget crisis, and he has seen a few. We proved his point last year. When our finances turned ugly, we went to work. We toughed it out, protecting our schools from cuts and keeping our economic development plans on track. As you know, we did not agree on everything, but we put partisan battles aside to get the job done. Since then, I have seen many of you at groundbreaking ceremonies for new businesses and factory expansions all across the Commonwealth. Each time, I handed you a shovel and said, "Let's get to work." This evening, let us get those shovels out again and continue working together so that our futures can improve for every Virginia resident. Last year, we worked to protect and expand our investments and priorities that contribute directly to our goal of a stronger economy. We also agreed on the need to reform programs that were failing. Those principles should continue to guide our work through this year. I have introduced a budget that is structurally and fiscally sound. We must maintain that balanced budget while making strategic investments. Even as our economy improves and our revenue increases, our responsibility to be good stewards of taxpayer dollars remains the same. And so does the significant power that we in this room have to make a real difference in the lives of the people who sent us here to represent them.
The governor then pivoted to education by touting $1 billion in new funds for the next 2 years.
We have proposed a significant infusion of resources into our public schools, including $139 million to fund 2,500 additional instructional positions. We will take Virginia's investment in public education to $6.8 billion in fiscal year 18, the largest level in the Commonwealth's history. Now, this does not mean that we should invest tax dollars in education just for the sake of it. We should invest in smart, innovative programs that get results for the students, the communities, and the businesses that we serve. We have already made a great start. Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam and his team work closely with us to win a $17.5 million annual grant from the United States Department of Education to provide high-quality pre-kindergarten classes for 13,000 children. We began reforming our standards of learning by eliminating 5 SOL tests. We made the testing process better without watering down the high standards that we set for our schools and we set for our students. My team worked closely with leaders in this room like Senator John Miller and Delegate Tag Greeson to oversee these important reforms, and the results speak for themselves. Listen to this. 5-point gains in reading and math pass rates. Improvements in writing, science, and history. A 7-point increase in math pass rates among African-American students and a 6-point gain in reading. And today, 1,414 of our public schools are now fully accredited, a 10-per-point increase from the prior year. So now is not the time to let up. Let us use these 60 days to strengthen our investment in education, further our reforms of our standard of learning, and make every single Virginia classroom a place where students are being prepared to lead in the 21st century. I can usually count on Lionel. We can start by using new technologies to evaluate student learning without subjecting them to 6-hour SOL tests. I know every member of the General Assembly has heard from parents about third graders having to take 6-hour tests. If we work together to provide the necessary resources, by the spring of 2017, we can reduce the time most Virginia students spend taking SOL tests to less than 2 hours through computer adaptive testing. As important as it is to reduce and to shorten tests, it is just a small piece of the work that we must do to build the education system that we need to lead in a global economy. Virginia students hold the key to innovation, entrepreneurship, and economic growth. What we put into our schools today will be what we get out of our economy 10, 20, and 50 years from today. You cannot build an economy for 2050 with a 1950s approach to education. So this year, I have proposed legislation to begin a fundamental change in Virginia's approach to high school education. We will put greater emphasis on hands-on learning, internships, early college courses, industry credentials, rather than classroom seat time. Our high schools were designed during the Industrial Revolution to prepare workers with the basic information and skills needed for the jobs of that day and time. This is a particularly urgent matter for more than 2 million Virginians living in rural regions. As Governor Jerry Biles has noted in his work on the Rural Virginia Horseshoe Initiative, 21%, or more than 400,000 rural residents, have less than a high school diploma. Our educators are eager to create the schools of the future, and they are already starting. Here in the Richmond area, a new code RVA school is opening up next fall that will prepare students to learn code writing. Students will obtain a high school diploma in 2 years and get a community college 2-year degree while working in real computer science jobs. The students who graduate from this school, let me be very clear, will not have any trouble finding a job. And to all the parents who are watching tonight, right now, we have 17,000 cyber jobs open, and the average starting pay is $88,000. For those of you old enough to remember the movie The Graduate, the key word was plastics. Well, folks, today it's cyber. These new high schools that we are designing will benefit students like James DeLoche, an eighth grader in Goochland County who is already a skilled coder and has even designed award-winning app already. So, folks, our future. Let us welcome James, who is here to represent all the future code writers here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We thank James for being with us tonight. Pretty good. If we're going to prepare students for the jobs of today and create the jobs of tomorrow, we must fundamentally change the way we think about education. That innovative approach should even extend to the services that we offer to students who face unique challenges, like military-dependent children, transitioning to new lives here in the Commonwealth. We passed legislation last year to ensure that our schools are doing everything they can to support the concerns of children of our active duty military families as they transition in and out of our public school system. I do want to thank for the First Lady once again for her leadership on this issue. And as we take a new approach to public education, we cannot ignore the fundamental problem that far too many students, 1 in 6, in fact, lack the basic nutrition they need to fulfill their potential. I am proud of the progress that we have made on this important issue. I want to thank the First Lady once again for her tremendous outreach and advocacy, because today, 100,000 Virginia students in 26 school divisions are now benefiting from the community eligibility provision, which allows schools to provide meals at no cost to the students or their families. Across the nation, school participation in this new federal program expanded by 20%. Here in Virginia, we knocked it out of the park. We expanded by 139%. We worked together last year to include funding in the budget to support school breakfast programs across Virginia, ensuring that all children start the day ready to learn. Those dollars today are helping 244 schools expand their breakfast programs. But we had an additional 310 schools seek funding that we were not able to support. I want to recognize a special guest who's also here with us tonight. Amanda Warren is the supervisor of school nutrition programs at Stanton City Public Schools. Out of 4 schools that applied that she was working with, 2 were approved to receive additional support for school breakfast. At Bessie Weller Elementary School, Amanda has been able to increase breakfast participation among her students from 33% to 91%. Could you imagine what she could have done if we had funding for all 4 schools? That is why the budget before you doubles the funding to $2 million so that we can continue our work getting every student the basic nutrition that he or she needs to succeed in the classroom. I want to thank you, Amanda, for being here tonight and taking the leadership on this issue.
Governor McAuliffe concluded his address with a hand extended to lawmakers, but explicit threats to use the veto pen.
We should be proud of what we've accomplished and ready to meet the challenges that we all face together. When I travel around the Commonwealth to the factory floors, the classroom, the Chamber of Commerce breakfasts, I find that Virginians are practical, honest people who want their government to focus on the essential duties and to perform them well. They want quality schools, good roads, reasonable taxes, a meaningful safety net, and sound economic policies that will stand the test of time for their children and their grandchildren. You will see their influence on every page of our budget and in every bill that we will introduce this winter. Our ideas and proposals are not partisan, nor should they be controversial. I do not expect that you will accept every single one of them, but I am optimistic that our work will be defined more than by cooperation than by conflict. I hope that that same approach will be reflected in the bills that you send me for consideration as the session progresses. I am ready to work with you on all of your proposals to grow our economy, expand opportunity, make our government work better, and take better care of our taxpayer dollars. But I will not hesitate to veto legislation that I believe harms those important goals. Specifically, I am prepared to veto bills that roll back the progress that we have made on marriage equality and a woman's access to health care. I will also reject proposal that limit this Commonwealth's ability to keep Virginians safe from gun violence or to react to the very clear and present danger of climate change and sea level rise. Even more important, I do hope that we will treat our newest Supreme Court justice with the respect that she deserves as a jurist who has served our Commonwealth with honor for 22 years. Allowing politics to deny this qualified and distinguished jurist a full 12-year term would send a dangerous message about the Commonwealth's respect for the independence of the judicial branch. It is my hope that our work together this session will be devoted to productive areas where there's room for compromise, not for political sideshows that distract us from the matters that demand our urgent attention. So let us resolve this evening to spend as much of this important session as we can laying a solid foundation for the new Virginia economy that our families deserve. If we are to reach that goal, each of us has an important job to do. We must stay focused on our long-term goals. We must demand more of ourselves and each other. And we must always remember why we were elected to office in the first place. On this first day of legislative session, we will face a crucial decision that will guide us for the next 60 days. I ask you to make a commitment this evening to find a way. Find a way to bulldoze through barriers and move Virginia's economy forward. Find a way to provide all Virginians with the education and the training that they need for a good job. Find a way to build the critical infrastructure to sustain our momentum. Find a way to change lives for the better. Right now, at this moment, we can make the right choice and take the next step forward. Together, let's get to work. Thank you, and God bless the greatest state and the greatest nation on earth. Thank you very much.
In the Republican response to Governor McAuliffe's State of the Commonwealth address, Delegate Rob Bell of Albemarle County and Senator Frank Ruff of Mecklenburg County identified areas in which the Democratic governor and the Republican-led General Assembly might come to terms on a two-year spending plan. First, here's Senator Frank Ruff.
In his address tonight, Governor McAuliffe detailed his agenda for the year's legislative session. He established his priority for the Commonwealth's two-year spending plan when he submitted his budget to the General Assembly last month. Between now and March 12th, the delegates and senators you elected to represent you will consider the governor's proposals and more than 2,000 bills and resolutions submitted by legislators. As a member of one of the two legislative committees that will consider the governor's proposed budget, I know we will find common ground with him on efforts to increase funding for our public schools, for mental health care, for public safety, and for our veterans. We are committed to ensuring students who attend our public schools receive a quality education. And we will strive to provide the funds necessary to attract and retain the best teachers. To better prepare our workforce for the demands of a rapidly changing economy, the budget we approve will include initiatives to encourage more Virginians to complete educational programs that lead to certification in high-demand jobs. By investing in workforce training targeted to growing industries, we can make Virginia even more attractive to employers. One area where we will not be in agreement with Governor McAuliffe is Obamacare. While the governor's budget again includes the federal program's Medicaid expansion scheme, we believe this initiative threatens critically important funding priorities like education. Even without the optional federal expansion, mandated spending on Medicaid will take an even higher share of state spending in the new budget. Expanding the program would not be prudent and would only increase the funding pressure on other state core services. Although the governor's initiative to join this optional feature of Obamacare will not be part of the new budget, there will not be a legislative impasse or standoff as there was 2 years ago. By voting for a Republican majority General Assembly, Virginians ensured that the lengthy budget standoff of 2014 would not be repeated. We take the responsibility of completing our work on schedule very seriously, and the General Assembly will be adjourning on or before March 12th. Rob?
So last year, the General Assembly completed its work ahead of schedule. We passed a budget that Governor McAuliffe signed without amendment. We continued our work to keep Virginia a good place to open or grow a business. And we further strengthened our ethics and transparency laws for Virginia's elected officials. We understand that there will often be principal disagreements over policies and priorities, and we're always open to discussing what's best for Virginia. However, we've been disappointed by recent unilateral actions by the current administration. Our system of government is founded on the constitutional principles of a separation of powers. As has become all too common in Washington, here in Richmond we have seen Governor McAuliffe and Attorney General Herring use executive actions and appointments to circumvent these constitutional limitations and undermine the balance envisioned by our founders. Now, only 10 weeks ago, every Virginia legislator stood for election. And despite unprecedented efforts by outside groups, Virginians returned a Republican majority to the House and Senate. We intend to represent our constituents who just voted us into office. We will use our majority in the House and Senate to fight for fiscal responsibility and against the governor's unsustainable Obamacare Medicaid expansion. We will oppose job-killing proposals, whether they come from the governor or federal overreach out of Washington. We will stand up for the constitutional rights of Virginians, including their Second Amendment rights. And we will carefully review any appointment that was made by the governor to ensure that it meets the Constitution's requirements. During this session, we will be adhering to the Constitution of Virginia and will be working to ensure that the will of the voters is respected. Now, your vote matters, and your voices will be heard through us, the people you've chosen to represent you here at the Capitol. So on behalf of our Republican colleagues in the House, the Senate, Senator Ruff and I wish you a happy, prosperous, and safe new year.
Support for WMRA's News and Information Fund, which makes our award-winning coverage possible, is provided by Bib and Dolly Frazier, Eugene Stoltzfus Architects, Joy Loving, Janet Trentner, the Just Pax Fund, an anonymous donor, and by a grant from a donor-advised fund of Harrisonburg and Rockingham County. To learn more about our News and Information Fund and how you can help, go to WMRA.org, mouse over News, then click on News and Information Fund. I'm Bob Levicky, WMRA's News Director and Morning Edition host. I'll talk to you in the morning. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.